I'm wrestling, not weak for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? This is episode number 96 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you as always by Defense Soap. Defend what you have built in Dahlmer Mats. Tommy, I don't even know what I should give you an intro because I have so many hot takes this week. I'm going to be on fire.
My brother from another mother, it's good to be on. We're in the heart of the college season, which means it's easy to talk wrestling, so I'm ready to rock.
Well, you and I will both be attending the greatest dual meet of all time this weekend.
You're going?
Yes. So I couldn't talk about it on here because I was surprising my high school coach with the trip out there, and so I just told him 2 days ago.
Wow. Are you coming out Friday night or Saturday morning?
So we're coming out Saturday. We're flying out of Chicago to State College.
When do you land?
Early afternoon sometime, I believe.
That's great, man. Yeah. We'll have to get a pizza or something.
Damn straight we will.
All right. That's awesome.
So let's start with this because it made it slightly more slightly less of a great duel that Jason Knoll will not be wrestling because he is my favorite wrestler in the NCAA right now. Hurt his knee yesterday against Rutgers. And from what I saw, I watched the clip. I know that position. I've hurt my knee in that position multiple times. So for those who haven't watched it, go watch it. It's essentially when your heel starts coming towards your crotch, your knee and your hip are bent at a very bad angle. Sprains of the LCL happen all the time there. A lot of people were crying foul on Rutgers. I feel like Jason did that one to himself.
Yeah. I think there's three parties involved in this injury. The ref, Jason Knoll, and the Rutgers kid. And the only party that didn't play a part in the injury is the Rutgers kid.
Why do you think the ref did?
Well, I think the ref's job – I think Jason Knoll is most to blame, Ben. So
yeah, because, essentially, right, Jason Knoll is one of the most knowledgeable people on folkstyle wrestling on planet Earth.
Yes.
And he's forcing the situation. And he's forcing the situation. Why should a grown-ass ref have to protect a grown-ass man from himself?
Shouldn't have to, but I believe that's their job, even as it's stated in the rules.
From himself? I mean, I could see if it was from his opponent, if his opponent was trying to do something which is potentially dangerous. But, you know, Knoll was trying to force the issue, which, you know, he pushes his body to the limits. He finds, and that, you know, honestly, that's how I found my, essentially my breaking points, right? You try to bend, and you try to bend, and you try to bend, and then it pops, and you say, damn it, that ain't good. Right? And then you're out, you're hurt for a little bit, and then you come on back and you start swinging again.
Yeah, he did it to himself for sure. And I thought the ref, you know, I think Jason Knoll, he made that happen, but the ref played a part in not protecting the athlete as much as he should have, in my opinion.
I don't know.
But Jason Knoll, you watched him. He wanted the points, Ben. He wanted the points, and it wasn't even a close match or going to be a close match, and he wanted the points. So, yeah, it was not a smart move on Jason's end. Very sad, though, to see something like that happen.
You know? And that helps the Ohio State Buckeyes a lot because from what I see, Penn State does not have a strong backup at that weight class. So, Micah should be pushing for bonus, and that's going to obviously help a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it puts Ohio State in the driver's seat for the duel as opposed to what I would consider a toss-up prior to Knoll getting injured. And I'm not just saying this, Ben, to say it, but I still think Penn State's got a shot to win the duel.
No, they absolutely do. They absolutely do.
I would say that it's also Ohio State's to lose.
Hey, so can we get into my hot takes from Twitter on both Penn State and Ohio State?
Yeah, let's go,
which
man.
Which one do you want first? You want Penn State one first or the Ohio State one first?
I don't know which one's which, but okay. Go ahead.
Penn State. I'm still pissed Cale's doing it in a 6,000-seat venue. I'm still pissed about it, Tommy. And these knuckleheads on Twitter saying the Big Ten Network, bullshit. You're Cale. Yes. You say, go to the AD's office. You say, I'm Cale Sanderson. I won 6 freaking national titles. I could sell 50,000 tickets if I had to. Give me the arena.
That's right. I don't think he wanted it.
I don't think he wanted it.
Here's the thing is, and this is what I think is more closer to reality than not. Cale didn't even think to have it at Rec Hall. It got put at Rec Hall because there's a double booking, and the Big Ten Network put it on the same, you know, the Big Ten Sports Commission put on the same day as a hockey event or a basketball game or whatever at Bryce Jordan. And then he's like, well, wait a second. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
and then he kept it. And I really believe that because if he wanted to move the date, he could have got it done.
Wanted to move the date, wanted to move the time, wanted to move the venue. I mean, you know, he could have moved it to Pittsburgh and had it at a gigantic arena or something. There are things that he could have done to make something happen. And, Tommy, I really genuinely feel, I don't know if there's an indoor dome in the Pittsburgh, Ohio area, but if there was, I feel like this duel could sell out 60,000 seats.
Yeah, having an NPA, tip of the cap to Cale because it's a home match, but in Pittsburgh would be insane.
Is there a dome in Pittsburgh? The hell, or no?
Well, you got where the Penguins play.
Well, that's like 20,000 though.
That would get sold out.
Yeah, that would be sold out. No. But I'm saying like an indoor like football stadium, like. Say like the Vikings have or like the Detroit Lions have or
– you know, not that I can think of. You got Detroit, but that's, you know, that's Michigan. Yeah. I can't think of one, no.
Okay. So I didn't know if that was a feasible option or not. All right. Yeah. Well, so that's my hot take on Cale wanted it in the smaller venue, and that's fine. But
do you agree then that he probably didn't plan it that way, but once it got presented that way, I kind of like that.
Yes. That's absolutely what happened. And hey, you and I will be two of the butts in the seats, and you know.
Actually, I'm bringing my three boys, and my dad's going with me. We're leaving bright and early Saturday morning from Columbus, Ohio.
There you go.
5.5-hour ride. We're gonna be ready to rock by 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Boom, pow. Okay.
Who'd you get through, dude?
What?
Magic Man.
I hit up the Magic. I hit up the Euregan champion Magic Man. That's who I hit up.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, I mean, let's take a diversion. Kyle Snyder is the first one to ever win 2 Euregans.
Yes.
David wins a Euregan, beating some very, very good competition. I guess just good. You know, we had some other guys not do so well, but to have 2 Euregan champions, I think that bodes pretty well for us. Don't you think so?
Well, I think having 5 Americans medal at the Euregan, which I think for all intents and purposes is equivalent to the world championships, at least in my opinion, pretty darn close.
Close, yeah.
And to have 5 out of 10 weight classes medal and 5 of our number ones were not there, I would say it was, at the worst, it was an acceptable showing. Probably slightly good. And then obviously Taylor and Snyder in particular, very impressive showings. Dake did a good job too. So it was an overall good weekend for the USA.
Yeah, very good. And Magic Man looked good. He's grown into that weight class. You know, he's the heavy favorite to be our representative.
That's correct.
Obviously, since Jaden's going to go up to 92 kg. So – I'm looking forward to him. He has not made a world team yet. It's going to be nice to see him on the world team at the world stage. And I'm excited to see what he can do. And I think the Euregan really proves that he's probably going to make a strong push for the gold medal.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, this guy has won the Euregan and the World Cup, beat Olympic champions, Olympic silver medalists, world champions, and world medalists before he's made a world team.
Wild,
he's ready to rock. He's locked and loaded. He was kind of locked and loaded last year. But again, it does bother me when people say, oh, David would have done better than Cox. It's like, I mean, okay, yeah, maybe. But Cox got his second bronze in a row, so let's relax here.
Yes, 100%.
So
100%.
Anyhow, yeah,
what did you think about Dake? Dake looked pretty good, but kind of got, I don't know, beat. I don't want to say beat up, but kind of got hammered in the finals a little bit. What did you think about him?
I would agree. I mean, I think overall good showing. I mean, second in the Uregan's never a bad thing. He had some good wins. I think he beat Kurbanov pretty handily.
Kurbanov's getting older, though. You know, actually, Tommy, I've pinned Kurbanov 3 times. You know that?
How did that happen?
I gas him out. He beat me every first period he beat me. I would.
How did you wrestle a Russian like that 3 times?
He's not from Russia now. Now he represents – who does he represent now?
I don't know.
I wrestled Uzbekistan. I wrestled him twice at the NYC and once in Colorado at the Dave Schultz.
That's awesome.
He would beat me every first period. I would get him so freaking tired he couldn't stand up, and I'd usually catch him in a cradle. I think I caught him in 2 cradles.
You're Ben Askren. I love it.
Suck it, Kurbanov. Okay. Hey, how about my beef with Ohio State? Do you want my beef with Ohio State?
Yeah, dude. Let's go. Let's freaking go.
Because you can defend your Buckeyes. And, you know, I know Christian Piles on Twitter said I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. So I'm going to make my damn point. I think Ohio State sends people to protect seed sometimes.
And wrong.
Here's
wrong.
You got to let me.
Wrong.
Let me say my damn point. Wrong. Let me say my piece, Tommy.
Okay, go.
Here's my piece. My piece is that it might not seem obvious at all times when people are protecting seeds, but the fact of the matter is when people aren't 100%, they are more likely to lose matches. But if you're at 90%, if you're at 80%, there's a good likelihood you can go out and compete at a high level, and you should compete at a high level, okay? And so, for example, if Ohio State sits Tishon Campbell against Michigan State, no one in their right mind thinks he's going to lose that match. But if he sits it, now, you know, and I know they say, like, losses don't count against your seed, it's only wins or whatever, but everyone pays attention to flow rankings or internet rankings, and now that Tishon Campbell lost to the Michigan State guy who's a bum, I mean, this guy got teched by the Wisconsin guy the week before, and he has an under 500 record. That is going to affect Tishon Campbell's ranking and seeding a lot. And so while it may not seem obvious, anytime you're competing suboptimally, you have a greater chance at losing. The more you lose, the less likely you are to be seeded highly. It's that simple.
So everything you're saying is correct.
Well, duh.
Other than I know Tom Ryan. He's the man behind the curtain calling these shots, and I know that he doesn't hold these guys out for seeding purposes. And Ben, let me finish.
No, so let me finish. Okay, go.
I'm just gonna make one comment. I in fact don't agree with how much Ohio State holds guys out. I've learned a lot more from Tom Ryan than I even care to admit, and I continue to learn from him. But I've never liked it. But I can tell you right now, Ben, it has nothing to do with seeds. He is very overly, in my opinion, conscientious of the athlete's well-being from a personal injury standpoint.
So do they have to be 100% before he'll wrestle them? Or where's the line?
Yeah, I don't know. He's very sensitive about it. Now, you can't argue the guy's track record. You can't argue that his methodologies have worked more than they haven't with an end result at the end of the year, but maybe they could have been better had these guys sharpened their axe a little bit more and dug through some slightly difficult injuries. So it's just a matter of opinion, but I just know, even though I don't agree with how much Ohio State holds guys out, I truly don't. I don't like it.
But don't you think, in some manner, Tommy, Tom Ryan is thinking, okay, if my guy's not 100%, there is a greater likelihood he's going to lose. If he loses, he's not going to be ranked this high. Take the Tishon Campbell match for a perfect example, because Tishon Campbell actually didn't look 100%, and Tishon Campbell losing to the Michigan State guy will affect how people think about him, will make him seated, will make him ranked lower, which will then in turn make him seated lower.
Okay, so it's difficult for me to have this discussion when defending a position I don't have. But in Tom Ryan's defense, I don't think seeding or rankings enter his mind when he's making these decisions. I do think he thinks this.
What about
though.
But maybe subconsciously it does.
No, I think subconsciously he's thinking this. My guy is hurt. He could in fact lose to the guy he has to wrestle, and that would affect him, his mentality at the end of the year. I don't want to jeopardize that when he's not at his best.
But that's seed protection.
I don't think it is, Ben. I think it's more about his athlete's mentality and being ready at the appropriate time. And again, I'm defending a position that I don't have, but I just think you're off the mark here on the fact that he's doing it to protect seeds or rankings. Whatever reason he does it for, I'm not exactly on that train.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying whether it's very specifically. I'm not saying it's very specifically. I'm ducking this guy because I don't want to wrestle this guy because I want the 3 and not the 4, or the 5 and not the 6. Okay?
Right.
What I'm saying is that he understands if his guys take a few more losses, Tishon Campbell from Michigan State, it's going to make them rank lower, and a lot of the coaches get damn lazy when they do their coaches' rankings. They just go on a flow or intermat and change around a little bit. So
well, I think,
going to, in turn, affect the seeding.
So that's what you think Tom Ryan's motivation is. I don't agree, but let me tell you what I do think his motivation is.
I don't think it's maybe 100% of his motivation, but I think if you're saying that thought doesn't enter his mind at some point, you're insane.
I mean, I would say that it's not even on the top 5 of the priorities of what the decision he's making.
Well, what are the top 5 then?
Athlete well-being.
One.
What's that?
That's number one. What else?
Yeah, athlete well-being is number one. I think that Tom Ryan is this is pretty deep thinking here, but
let's go deep. People like it when you're deep.
I think he is so into the team result in dual meets. This is the truth, that he cares so very little about who's in as long as the team wins. So he's so not concerned about rankings and seeds. Rather, he's only concerned about the result of the duel. That it's like, what does it matter if Bo Jordan's wrestling today? We're going to beat Purdue, and it doesn't benefit Bo to wrestle today, and we're going to beat him anyway, and his toe hurts, so he's out. Why would I, there's no importance. There's no importance level on today's match. So I actually think it's opposite. We should have him on the show because I think he would talk openly and freely about this.
You think so?
I think he would. And again, Ben, I wrestled 178 matches in college out of 179 possible. I only skipped one match. It was the All-Star meet in my junior year because I cracked my ribs.
Okay.
I don't play this way, but I'm just telling you, his motivation comes from a different place than you think.
I'm saying if you think that there's zero consideration given to that, I think you're crazy.
Again, I mean, would there be some consideration? I mean, maybe, but I think it's so – I mean, it's not even 10% of his influence, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I think he thinks about it. I think it's relevant. I think anyone who's in a position like that who doesn't think about it is an idiot. And so I'm saying I don't know that I would do it 100% differently if I'm the college coach. I might push it a few more. I probably wouldn't sit quite as much as him, but I would do – that would be relevant to my thought process.
I would say this as a Buckeye fan, and I'm not going to get into names because I don't want to go down this road. But in my opinion, as a guy who's been wrestling my whole life, watching the Buckeyes the past 10 years, what he's done with the guys, he's helped as many as it's hurt. Meaning that if he took the other end and had them wrestle all the time, even when they're banged up, he would have hurt as many as he helped. And I think the same can be, I think that it hasn't cost the program because there's been some guys that have been aided by that mentality and then some guys, but maybe they could have had a sharper sword at the end of the year if they were wrestling more often. So I think it's a horse apiece. It's a wash.
Okay.
He's a legendary coach. That's the way that he goes about doing things. And you can't really knock it a whole lot, I wouldn't say.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's get to the point. Can I go another Ohio State question for you?
Yes, let's do it.
It's a criticism, which I guess I don't want to say criticism because I don't know that it is criticism more than a thought. Last year, the Buckeyes had Jose Rodriguez, who came out like a ball of fire. I want to say was ranked as high as number 4. and literally couldn't win a damn match the second semester.
Couldn't buy a win.
And this year, Tashawn Campbell came out pretty damn hot. I think got as high as rank number 6 and has not looked close to as good recently as he did then. So what is it about these two guys where, they came out so hot and then fell so flat?
I think that has less to do with the fact that they're Buckeyes and more to do with the fact that it was their first year in the Big Ten. And wrestling that schedule every Friday, Sunday, in the dog days of January and February on the heels of a Vegas tournament and a couple tough duels, it's just some people, it freaking plays tricks on you, man. And is Penn State possibly better at having consistent performances with their lineup? I mean, yeah, probably, but I don't think it's like an Ohio State epidemic. It's more like the Big Ten is.
Well, I was trying to think of other people who had that issue, Tommy. And I know we had one guy in my time in Missouri. Logan Massa, but that's different seasons. Well, I guess not, because he did have a few good matches earlier this year, right? In the beginning?
Yeah. Yep.
He's looked terrible. I mean, really bad, Tommy.
Yep.
Is he hurt, you think? What do you think his deal is?
I mean, I thought it was either an injury.
He looks bad, really bad.
I thought it was either an injury or cutting weight. And I think now maybe it's still one of those two. But I think now it's mentally – now he's like – now it's becoming a mental thing as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It gets in your psyche that you're just not right. And maybe they need to give him some time off or something. Okay, fair enough. Let's go maybe at the very end of the show, you and I can run through the lineups. I know I gave a score to someone the other day that was 19-18 Ohio State, and that was prior to the Nolf injury. So I'll see how we go through it this time.
Let's score it out at the very end. Let's score it out.
I think I might have picked Nick McKenna at that point, and now for the last couple weeks I want to pick Nick Lee.
Unfortunately, so do I.
okay. So the other two duels I want to talk about, we want to talk about Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Mizzou, and Iowa, Michigan. Let's go Oklahoma State, Mizzou. I got to watch this whole thing.
Congratulations, my brother. That's a big win.
It was fun. It was fun, too. It was a lot of fun. You know the one thing that I can't get, it drives me crazy. We know that homerism has gone on forever. But now that these people are on national broadcast, I'm surprised it's still so prevalent. I mean,
It probably will become less prevalent with all the freeze frames, slow mos, all the streaming, all the access that people have to watch this stuff. But the home cooking in wrestling compared to other sports, it's got to be top of the pile.
You would think so. Okay, there's two matches. So, and you can go back and look at videos. I know you joked about my still shot that I tweeted.
That was funny. That was funny.
It was funny. It was good. But. But Cade Brock was pinned forever. I mean, okay, the top of his shoulders weren't pinned, but I put a picture up from the NCAA rulebook, which shows the definition of what a pin is. You know, it's got this large segment of the shoulder that can be down for a pin. And his damn shoulders were down, Tommy, for a significant portion of time.
I wish I meant to get to that match today because I know it's still on Flow, all those matches. I wanted to get to that, and I couldn't get around to it. But I heard that – I read that on Twitter on a number of occasions that Brock was flat.
So flat. I mean, Tommy, he was in the damn Splato. He was in the Splato for a minute and 10 seconds.
Who's the Mizzou guy?
John Ernesti. He's ranked seventh maybe. He's really tough on top, and that was – you know, he got on top and turned him over.
Right.
And so that's so that was one. And then – let's see. So we lost the first one, 125 by injury default. Barlow tried a standing Granby without putting his foot down first and essentially got power bombed and concussed, and he was out of the match.
There you go.
So we gave up 6 there. We gave up 3 at the next weight. 141 was fantastic. Ironman put him on his back 3 times.
It's awesome. Dean Hiles is in a world of hurt right now.
Have you ever seen anything like that, Tommy? The guy didn't lose for 2 years.
No, I haven't seen anything quite like this, but we've seen it before. You know, you've seen guys.
I was trying to think. The one guy I was thinking of was Damian Hahn. I know he was always super inconsistent earlier in the year, and my assumption was it was weight cutting problems.
Right.
So that was one, but no, I can't think, Tommy, I can't think of anyone who lost this much.
Is this his fifth loss? He's lost to?
I think four.
Jack, Meredith, Ironman, and
Parker.
Parker, okay.
So I think it's number four, but I mean, not only is he a two-time national champ, Tommy, he was a two-time undefeated. This isn't like a Jake Roschalt where he was super inconsistent and would lose nine matches and go win a national title.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that's been like it.
I couldn't think. I racked my brain.
Well, Mike Pacillo, he had one loss.
Major injury, right, his last year?
Yeah, no, he had kind of what we're explaining about Moss. He had an injury that was legitimate.
Shoulder, right?
No, his neck and shoulder. He had that narrowing of the spine.
Yes.
And so that injury then coupled with, you know, mentally obviously having a hard time keeping up with it all. But, yeah, that was an injury. But he only had one loss across his sophomore and junior year. And then his senior year, he did not place and lost throughout the year.
Yep, I remember that bracket.
That bracket's
at my wrestling academy, Tommy.
He what?
That bracket's at my wrestling academy.
Oh, geez, I forgot that's you and your brother won.
Yeah, and that I believe that bracket has nine NCAA finalists in it.
Okay, so you got Max Pacillo.
Obviously, Kirk Smith, who was in the NCAA finals.
Clayton Foster.
You had Clayton Foster. You had Mike Miller, who had made the NCAA finals the year before at 174. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up because I stared at this brand. I had Clayton Foster. I believe Kilgore was in there who made the NCAA finals. So that's number six, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to the bracket.
Was Quentin Wright in it?
Who?
Quentin Wright?
No, that's too young, I think. Almost there, Tommy. I'm almost there. We're getting way off topic. Okay. So you got Kirk Smith. Travis Rutt was an All-American. Phil Keddie was a multiple-time All-American. Austin Trotman was an All-American. Caputo was All-American. Clayton Foster, NCAA finalist. Then you got Mike Cannon was a multiple-time All-American. Kilgore was an NCAA finalist. Steve Bosak, that was one we didn't remember, NCAA champion. Max Asker, NCAA champion. Joe LeBlanc, multiple-time All-American. Mike Miller, NCAA finalist. Mike Pacillo, NCAA champion. And John Durgo, so multiple-time NCAA All-American. So we got seven NCAA finalists.
There you go.
Pretty good.
Real tip right there, yep. All right, so Ironman pins Heil. He's on his fourth.
Oh, so awesome. Okay, then we got Grant Leith looked great against Boogaloo Wellen. I won 8-4. LaValle got up big early. Man, the guy from Oklahoma State at 157 was stalling so bad on bottom, and the ref would not call it, Tommy. It was so frustrating. Jeez. And then at the end of the match, the guy gets on like a single leg, and he attacks the other ankle as the whistle blows, and LaValle is standing straight up and down, Tommy, not falling over. Straight up and down.
Jeez.
And the ref calls 2 points. Like, what are you even doing? He's standing up. He's not falling over. He can't call call 2 points. Golly.
Then we had Rogers. He had a pin, right, over Flynn?
So, no. Flynn pinned Rogers, and they wouldn't call it. So right off the bat, Flynn gets – that was the picture I tweeted. Flynn gets in on a shot, freaking – Rogers goes to high flyer, ends up flat, Tommy, flat on his back.
Well, I saw your still frame. I saw it. I mean.
He was so, the guy was so flat. Just slapped the freaking mat.
When I saw that picture, I said he must have been flat for a second or two.
That's all you need. Just slap the damn mat, referee. So he was flat. Then he comes back and pins him in the second period. Oh, God, that was brutal. And, okay, so then 74, Daniel Lewis hammers on Jacoby Smith, kind of wrote him. Yes.
So I thought I saw – I think Willie Saylor tweeted this. Is it true that Lewis has 24 wins, 22 of them bonus?
Yeah, he's a beast.
I mean
– I think he's got 14
wins. What's funny is that if we're going to do – if we're going to do the hot talk every week, you know, not we, but if Flow Wrestling is, it should be – you know, the way that football does it is that it is completely unrelated to what happened the prior year. It's all about the season. And if that's true – you know, in theory, this dude at the present time he's right up there.
Yeah, I think the knock against him is that
it's a lot of mates.
No, it's a lot of pins, but he hasn't wrestled. He has not wrestled anyone in the top like five yet. Let me go to it. And obviously, he's not ranked number one right now.
Well, he's going to end up not being in the running. I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, legitimately.
I mean, listen, Tommy. I think Daniel Lewis can wrestle. With anybody here. So he's ranked number four. So he hasn't wrestled. Man, I think the best guy, I think he wrestled Lujan at seven, and that was the best guy. So he hasn't wrestled Amin, Cutler, Bo Jordan, Mark Hall, or Zahidi. He hasn't wrestled any of those guys.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, he will.
He will. He obviously will. He is so good on top, and he's so strong underneath. You know, he you realize he was beating oh my gosh, Vincenzo Joseph with about 15 seconds left in the NCAA quarters last year.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So he's right there with anybody.
Yeah, he's the real deal, for sure.
Okay, so 84, kind of a very lackluster. Keegan Moore from Minnesota, he backed out of bounds about 1,700 times, and the ref finally dinged him for stalling, and he won the match 2-1. Which, hey, I'm sorry. Now I'm all over the place, Tommy. Did you watch the Tishon Campbell Michigan State match?
No, but I've spoken to a lot of people that are very, very, very close to the situation.
Okay, so let me give you my take. So I say, man, I haven't seen someone get stalled out of a match in forever.
Right.
And so I'm like, shit, I got to watch it. I want to see what this looks like. So he gets hit with his first stall call with literally 5 seconds left in the second period.
I know.
So I'm thinking from the jump he's stalling. So, okay, what the hell is going to – how the hell is he going to stall that one period? Okay, start of the third period, Tommy. Guy gets underhooked. Tishon Campbell literally backs straight out of bounds. I mean, just straight backwards.
Is he backing it out of bounds or is he getting shoved?
He is offering very little resistance to the other guy's forward motion.
Okay, gotcha.
So straight out, stalling in one. Okay, that was fair, right? And so now he's up 2-1. And so you're like, okay, that's the proper application of stall rule. He went straight out of bounds, didn't try coming back in, didn't really try circling. Proper application. And so then the same thing happens again. Literally, this is another 20 seconds into the end. So now the first one was like 17 seconds in. This was 20 more seconds in. And it's like he pretty much backed straight out. So it's like, well, I guess you got to call for stalling again, don't you?
Right.
I mean, so he called him for stalling again. He does the same thing again.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, you're like, oh, I mean, can you call him for stalling three times in a row? But then at the same time, on the other hand, you're like, well, if it was stalling the first two times, it's definitely stalling this time also. Do you know what I'm saying there? There's that conundrum.
Yeah.
It's like, can we really call him three times in a row?
I don't know, man. I know that.
But then
I know
it's like, okay, that's the proper application of the rule. And if he did it the first two times, he definitely did it the third time also.
Yeah, I know. He must have lost his mind. Because even if the officiating was bad and you knew that – I mean, if I was one call away from getting stalled out of the match, I'd be shooting, man.
Yeah, and so, okay, so then it's 3-2 because the guy got three stalling points. It's 3-2, but Tishon had the riding time advantage.
Did Tom Ryan lose his mind?
I clicked off right as the match ended, so I didn't watch Tom Ryan. So then, overtime, he backed straight out of bounds. And it's like, I bet the ref didn't want to end it like that, but it was the proper application of the rule. It really was.
Okay, okay. I'm gonna have to watch. I wish I did. So if I disagree with you, we can fight about it.
And so it's like, okay, you know, a guy wins because he pushed the other guy out of bounds four times with an underhook. But then it was like, well, at the same time, I mean, Campbell was really offering little resistance to being pushed out of bounds.
Right.
It really was. So yeah, it was interesting.
Brutal.
Okay, so and so Keegan Moore backed out of bounds about 17 times and only got called twice. On the other hand,
your boy Nicholas did good against
Preston. Looked great. Looked fantastic. That was awesome.
Man, and, why do you think he's so inconsistent, Ben?
I think that he has a style where when he gets rolling, you know, he kind of relies on other people making mistakes. So when he gets winning, like, for example, you know, in the third period, I think he was winning by a point and Weigel shot in and he got pancaked. So I think he's one of those styles when he starts winning, he puts himself in good positions.
He's a momentum guy.
Sometimes when he gets behind, he has a hard time coming back and or he gets over-aggressive and makes mistakes.
Right. I've seen the over-aggressive stuff for sure.
Yeah. So there's that. Heavyweight was a snoozer. Let's get on to Iowa versus Michigan. What do you got for me?
Well, I got Spencer Lee getting a tech fall in 3 minutes and freaking in the middle of the second period or whatever over my boy, Drew Matten. This guy's an animal on top.
Tommy, I got people from Iowa tweeting me about Iowa developing Spencer Lee and how I'm not giving them any credit.
Three-time age group world champion before he even set foot on campus.
And he was hurt. He could have been four.
He rehabbed his knee all fall.
Yes. Like, my God, this guy literally, you could make an argument that he's the greatest high school wrestler of all time. A very good argument.
You could make the argument. He's definitely top five, hands down.
Hands down. And then, well, now you know Gable's probably going to take that top spot for sure, but I mean, you could make a legitimate argument 2017 and before Spencer Lee's the best of the best. And so people saying Iowa developed him, that's almost laughable.
Well, Ben, here's the other reason it's laughable. And this is taking nothing away from the Iowa coaching staff that has groomed a lot of great wrestlers. They recruited him. He signed. He had his knee reconstructed in the spring. He was rehabbing all the way through October-ish, November-ish, and he stepped on the mat for him.
Absolutely.
There's been nothing to develop. But anyways, the dude can wrestle, man, on top. Wow.
You know what? He's got that Logan Stieber strength where when you watch what he's doing, technically it's not very much superior to what other people are doing.
Yep.
But it just works because he's freaking strong. When you watch him run those bars or grab the wrist and tilt, it's just like you can just see the power he's generating.
I think some of that has to do with, and I know we criticize a lot youth wrestling, and rightfully so, it's the way it's applied, but I think some of that comes from like over a decade of running the same skill over and over and over until your muscles and your mind just are so dialed in and locked in that you just have this weird strength about
– I would be really curious, too, to see, you know, if he did any manual labor type stuff early. I know I got some of that freakish type strength, or at least people tell me.
From Wisconsin.
No, I was, well, you know where I was born, Tommy, and they try to claim me, right?
Where were you born?
Iowa.
No way.
I was. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I lived there for three and a half, four years.
Dude, look at that.
I know, it's so funny, right?
Black and gold.
Okay, so here's the thing, is that I did like a lot of manual labor type stuff with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And so I think from a young age, like a really young age, well, I'm talking like 2, 3, 4, I was always like walking around, and I had this like toy hammer I'd hit shit with. And I think I was using muscles that most 3 years old aren't using. And I'm really curious if that has something towards the development of future stuff. And
the other thing too is if you're wrestling when you're 4 or 5, it's the same philosophy.
Yeah, you're grabbing stuff, moving stuff, lifting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Matten was able to. I mean, he's.
But Drew Matten was probably wrestling at 4 years old, also.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not applicable to every single guy, but I think that might
Why is he specifically? And when we point out there, like I said this last week, I talked about Burroughs. Like wrestlers are really strong, Tommy.
They are.
When you
watch
like a Logan Steber, or when you watch a Spencer Lee, there's just something extra there that other guys don't have.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, this would apply to more people if it was about youth wrestling. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man.
Weird. So, I would be curious to see if there was, like, some manual labor at a young age or...
Hey, why was Kemmerer out?
I don't know. They don't think they said. You know they're talking that Downey ain't going to be wrestling.
What happened?
Well, I'm not supposed to say the rumor, Tommy, but let's just say he ain't going to be competing. There's tests you have to pass in order to do so.
Gotcha. Perfect. How about this?
Gather what I'm getting at.
I guess with the way Logan Moss has been wrestling, I would have thought Marinelli would have won by more.
Yeah, I mean, Logan Moss has lost, like 3 or 4 matches in a row now? Because he lost to Wanzek last week. He lost to Vincenzo before that. And then he lost before his injury.
Yep, and he lost in Vegas twice. I mean, he's taking someone on the chin.
Hard, taking on the chin hard. He's struggling big time. Okay, so who else we got? Let's see. Sorensen beat a backup. Pentelio wins. Marinelli beats Massa. Massa doesn't look good again.
Kind of some lame matchups, honestly.
Yeah, not great. And so then Michigan goes on a run and wins the last 4, including number 2, Adam Kuhn, over number 3, Sam Stoll, to close the duel. Man, when have you seen an Iowa collapse like that where they lost 4 in a row? And they were heavily favored at 197.
Yeah, but Beasley's pretty good. He's an All-American. Wasn't he an All-American at ODU?
But Beasley looked terrible against Shakur Rashid. I mean, he got his ass whooped.
How do you think this show will go to the matchup later with the Penn State-Ohio State duel?
I don't know what they're going to do because they wrestle somewhat different every time. So yeah, on Wilkie was number 5 and Beasley was 14.
Yeah. It's an upset.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's go just real quick. Let's run through this Penn State, Ohio State, and then let's call it a night. What do you say?
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, 25. I got a tech fall.
I got a tech fall as well. 5-0.
5-0. 33. Pletcher by decision.
I got a decision. Ohio State 8-0.
Nick Lee decision.
Nick Lee decision 8-3.
I got Zane by 12 points.
Oh, you mean major?
I wanted to make it very clear that I thought it was going to be close to a technical fall, but not quite a technical fall.
I agree. I got Zane by major. It's
8-7. Well, how much are you saying? Let's go. Since you're making fun of my prediction, what do you got him by?
I got him by a 9.
Oh, 9. Okay.
No, I got him with 8.
I mean, Keyshawn did wrestle Sorensen pretty close.
Yeah, I got him. I don't know, man. I don't even like talking this way because Keyshawn's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, he stuck right in there with Sorensen.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess 8 finishes 8-point win on top.
Okay, so we're both at 8-7 right now. Now, yep. This is where it stinks because we were going to have Micah versus Nolf. So I'm going Micah major now against whoever Penn State throws in there.
Yeah, 12-7 Ohio State.
12-7. Okay, I got Chenzo by decision, unless he just chooses to push Tishon out of bounds until he gets DQ'd.
I got Chenzo by decision as well, 12-10.
Well, because if he watches that, if Chenzo watches that Michigan State match, he's saying, I can push this dude out of bounds 5 times in a row.
Yep.
I'm going to go Chenzo by stall out.
Are you serious?
Damn straight I am.
Oh my gosh! So that's 12. That's 13-12. Penn State's 12, winning.
Penn State.
Okay, I got 12-10. Ohio State.
Okay. I have. Ooh, who do I have here? I'm gonna go Bojo, 3-2. No, 4-3. Bojo 4-3.
I'm going Bojo 3-1.
Bojo 3-1. Okay, so you got 15-10. I got 15-13.
I'm going with Mimar, dude. I'm going with Mimar.
I kind of want to pick him, but I don't think I should. Okay. I got nickel decision, 16-15 Penn State.
I got 18-10 Ohio State.
And then Colin Moore decision.
Colin Moore decision, 21-10 Ohio State.
So what am I at then? I'm at 21-13? No, I'm sorry. I picked nickel and you did not. So I'm at 18-16 Ohio State.
And I'm at 21-10. And then I got Snyder by major. Could be a tech, but I'll give him a major, 25-10. Major.
So I'm at 22-16. You're at 25. Tommy, how crazy would it be if Ohio State wins 25-10? That means Nolf could not have made the difference.
Yes.
And so, that means we were calling Penn State the greatest team of all time this year.
I know. Hey, here's the thing about this duel. Ohio State is now the favorites, but they can still lose. It would not be that weird if they lost. The thing about it is, though, as an Ohio State fan, I really want them to win by more than 7 because I think that nobody would have given Nolf more than a major against Mick Jordan. And so I just need them to win by more than 7 so that way I can say that even if Nolf was in, the Bucks would have won.
That's fair. Okay, I will see you in State College this Saturday. We'll get a pizza. We'll have a great time. Should be awesome. Fun.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
All right, see you, Tommy.
You are listening to the T. Rowe and Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American at Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.